Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Today, we're taking a look at a story that's become more common. Women who have mastectomy or a double mastectomy to fight cancer or even to prevent cancer. Several high-profile women have shared their battles publicly, including most recently actress Christina Applegate, who revealed that she had cancer in one breast but had the other removed as a precaution, and Renee Seiler, former CBS News anchor, who didn't have cancer at all but had a high-risk profile, so she underwent a double mastectomy. Joining us now to talk about the many ways women might face this very difficult decision is Gisela Alvarez, not only someone who lived through this dilemma 2 years ago, but also works with women who are in similar predicaments, and she works at Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore, Maryland. And also joining us is Dr. Kevin Hughes, a surgical oncologist at Mass General Hospital in Boston. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Let's start with you, Gisela. Why did you decide to have a double mastectomy?
Well, my diagnosis, my original diagnosis was LCIS, which is not a cancer, but is a precancerous condition. So my chances of developing cancer in my other breast, my healthy breast, was higher than the regular person. So I decided to, for the double mastectomy, I did not want to live the rest of my life worrying about, you know, the other breast and having to have mammograms and MRIs every 6 months. It's not worth it.
But take us through some of those issues, because it couldn't have just been that simple. You were diagnosed with that condition. You said, oh, okay, I'm going to have a double mastectomy.
Absolutely not easy. My whole ordeal started in May of 06 with just my routine mammogram. The radiologist saw something she didn't quite like. So there was an MRI, then we had to do an ultrasound, a biopsy, and then I had to go into surgery to have an excisional biopsy because they couldn't get to the mass with the regular biopsy method. So it took 2 months, actually, for it to get to the diagnosis.
And what's going through your head emotionally?
Oh, you're an emotional wreck. One of my aunts had just been diagnosed with cancer a month before that. So you just don't think it's going to happen to you. You just don't think that you're going to get that call from your surgeon and say, you know, it's a cancer. So it's an emotional roller coaster.
Dr. Hughes, let's bring you in here. Why are more women getting mastectomies? Why is that on the rise?
Well, one of the things that's helped us is genetic testing for BRCA1 and BRCA2. These are two genes that cause breast cancer in a hereditary way, meaning they can be passed on from generation to generation. These genes are relatively uncommon. It only makes up about 5% of the breast cancer we see, but they can cause breast cancer at a very young age. Now that we're identifying women who may have these mutations by doing genetic testing, we look at the family history. We look for having several women with breast or ovarian cancer. They can cause either. We look for cancer at a young age, cancer in the 20s or 30s rather than breast cancer in the 60s or 70s when it usually occurs. And we look for more than one cancer in a patient, cancer in both breasts or breast and the ovary. In those patients, finding this mutation would tell us their risk of breast cancer is very high. And we can offer them removing the breast as one option to decrease that risk. And about 20-25% of women with the mutation will opt for the mastectomies. Others will opt for MRI, close follow-up, or using other things to try to decrease risk. But prophylactic mastectomy, removing the breast to prevent cancer, is one option.
Now, what kinds of things, you deal with this every day, what kinds of things, issues, concerns, go through the minds of your patients as they are trying to make this decision as to whether or not that's the right way for them to go?
It's a very difficult decision. Many of these women, especially those from high-risk families, have seen other members of their families battle cancer. So a patient may have a sister or a mother who's had breast cancer at an early age. If those patients did well, if their relatives did well, they might be less fearful of breast cancer. But for those where the relative had died of cancer, they're more fearful. Many of these women come in with preconceived ideas of what their risk of living or dying from breast cancer is, and that presets their ideas of whether they want to try to prevent that with everything possible or whether they want to try to watch and try to catch it early.
So all of this is a result, would you say, of medical advancements, and what do you see coming in the future?
That's a good question. In terms of medical advances, genetic testing certainly has advanced our ability to find these very high-risk women. The large amount of attention to breast cancer has made fear of breast cancer perhaps a little bit greater. That helps us in getting more women in for screening. But women should be aware that the cure rates for breast cancer are in the 85-90% range. So most women with this disease are found early and cured. I think the future really goes with more early detection, finding cancers earlier, better treatments as we come along, potentially making this a much more curable disease, but it's an extremely curable disease now.
And Gisella, that would be something you'd agree with strongly, right, that the message has to get out there.
I totally agree. I totally agree with that. When you get the diagnosis, it's not that life is ending. It's, you know, the assumption that your life is over as you know it. The rates right now for survival is incredible.
How would you describe to us what it's like for you now, having gone through this, to counsel women who are going through the same thing?
Oh, right now, well, I still work on the same floor. Our specialty is breast reconstruction, so we take all the breast patients. So I do a bit of sharing with my patients. I do a lot of bit of show and tell, if you may. So
show and tell? You got to explain that now.
Let's just say I flip my top a lot to my patients. It helps the patients to see their final result, and I share with them what I went through and what it's like once they leave the hospital. I got to learn that because I didn't know that myself. So I share that with them in a very positive way, and it really helps them decrease their anxiety, and it's very helpful.
Finally, last question to you, Gisella. What's your single best piece of advice that you'd share with us?
Well, first of all, your regular screening every year, definitely. And if you have any history of breast cancer in your family, be even more careful with that. If you're ever diagnosed with breast cancer, I would definitely strongly recommend to go to a breast center, a hospital that has a comprehensive breast center. And I'm very lucky to work in one that has one, and I have wonderful surgeons.
Thank you very much, Gisella Alvarez, a charge nurse at Mercy Medical Center, and Dr. Kevin Hughes, a surgical oncologist at Mass General Hospital in Boston. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we're always on here at The Takeaway. Barack Obama is going with Joe Biden. John McCain hasn't announced yet. Does a running mate matter? We want to hear your story at 877-8MYTAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And here's our takeaway today.
If you live in the USA, congratulations, you won the Olympics. If you live anywhere else in the world, then congratulate China because they won the Olympics.
All depends on where you sit. I'm Adore Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.